wake me up. I'm falling. Can't you see?
Visit us at www.podcastyourscene.com.
Yeah, the local media has an agenda that they're going to serve. I don't know who's in charge of it or what it is, if it's like a headless monster.
Why? This is a question.
Walking backwards. Yeah. Something sacred.
I don't know the names of the creep songs. Those
running in circles.
Just pop in and let play.
Sea of Glass.
The Flight and the Fall.
I love Ozzy. I think he's the true definition of a rock star.
So can about by your speakers.
Anybody else have any interesting stories they don't want to tell?
This is Doug from After the Fall.
Hey, this is John Lane from the thriving tropics of Leechburg, Pennsylvania.
The Pennsylvania Rock Show. Featuring the best unsigned rock that Pennsylvania has to offer.
Hey, it's Bill. You're tuned into the Pennsylvania Rock Show featuring the best unsigned rock that Pennsylvania has to offer right here on PARockShow.com, MegaRockRadio.net, and 107.1 FM St. Louis, Missouri. With me tonight is Justin Calley from Divine Tragedy. Did I say that right, Calley? I know it's actually short for something else.
Yeah, well, it's Caligaro, but it came into kind of how like Osborne turned into Ozzy, so it's short for Caligaro, but yeah, it's Caligaro, Metal Cali. I'm going to call it a bunch of things. But yeah, Cali's what's been my nickname here for about the past, you know, 15, 16 years. So that'll work.
Well, let's start off with something that we both realized yesterday when we were talking about doing this. It's been like 10 years since you guys first graced the airwaves with the Pennsylvania Rock Show.
It has. Yes, it has.
A little more than 10 at this point. But it was November 9th. 2007, and that was back when the bands would come here and play live in my living room.
Right.
And so we spent a little time with me cutting that stuff out and sending it to you. And I got to say, considering I was the one mixing it and you guys were plugged directly into the board, it doesn't sound that bad.
Yeah, I was listening to it early. I'm surprised, actually, because I literally, what it was is like, I think we each had like a full half stack for the to do it. And I remember like my other guitar player, he actually had like a quarter inch out on his amp rig. So he was able to play and put it through. And I think I played through just literally a little floor effects pedal because my amp didn't have the out. So yeah, I'm surprised it sounded so good for given just it was straight into the board. So
I'm contemplating whether or not I want to play one of those on this week's show.
I'm telling you, man, it is what it is, man. You got to own the past. You know what I mean?
Well, if I was going to do that, and which one of those tracks do you think I should do? Do you remember what?
Listen, like Raiders of the Sea sounded pretty good. Into the Fray sounded good too. I say play Raiders of the Sea. That's kind of like one of our favorite fan songs. A lot of people get into it. It's kind of like a sing along song with the chorus, with the you know the group chanting and stuff. So it's kind of one of our fan favorite. We still play it to this day. Being that it's, you know, it's 11 years old at this point, but people still ask about it, so.
And that's the pirate song, not the Viking.
Right, yeah.
So, what have you guys been up to? I mean, I talked to you back in June, but what have you been up to since then?
Like I said, we've been, we've had a new drummer for about a year now. Actually, it's, Mr. Cafaro used to play in Stratega and Transcendence. He's now in Divine Tragedy. So I'm sure those both them bands have been on your show, I believe. Or I know you know about them. They're from your area.
Yeah.
But yeah, writing new stuff. That's actually what we're going to do. We got your show coming up here in a couple weeks. And then after that, I really don't have anything booked until March at the moment because we're in the middle of writing new songs. So we have the drums done on a couple of them, and then I got tons and tons of riffs that we need to organize. So I think we're going to kind of take a little winter hiatus here and get some new material together so we can get it out for the new year. But still the same thing. We play out, you know, once, twice a month. Now everybody in the band, you know, in their mid-30s here. Everybody got either kids or, you know, they're married and full-time jobs and all that, so it's kind of more of a hobby now, but you know, still like to get out there and play our original music. So
when you play a set, and you know, the set for my show is only 45 minutes, but when you do a full night, what's your mix as far as originals versus covers?
It's kind of like I'd say maybe 70-30, 70 original, 30 covers. It's kind of like if we were to play all night. I mean, back in the day, we used to do a lot more of that, where we'd play, you know, a three-hour set where it was us all night, and we'd do, you know, two originals, cover. That way, it's kind of like, especially if we're playing a new place, you got to kind of like cater to the room in a way where, like, people might not be initially into your original stuff, but if you play something they know, you know, you kind of grab their attention. Mm-hmm. Versus playing, you know, 20 original songs, something they don't know. You know, you come in and you play like, oh, two originals, and then you throw something they know, and they're like, oh, I kind of like this. And then, so we kind of do it that way. We'll probably, actually, we practiced today earlier before this. I think we're going to do 6 or 7 originals and then one cover for a 45-minute set coming up. So I'm more about the original material, in my opinion, but you know, we kind of throw a cover in there to, you know, show where we came from, influences and stuff like that. And then it's kind of nice to hear bands' interpretations of, you know, cover music. So
who do you think you're going to cover, if you don't mind me asking?
You can tell
me to wait.
No. Actually, this show coming up here at the Moose, our drummer right now, he's actually away for the weekend. So our drummer before him is coming back to fill in. So we're actually going to do a couple original songs we haven't done with our newer drummer because he hasn't learned them because we've been kind of pushing the new material. Mm-hmm. But we're going to play a couple old songs with the older drummer, and then we haven't decided yet. We're going to try it next week. We're either going to probably do Iron Maiden, Hallowed Be the Name, or Highway Star by Deep Purple. Or if those don't work out, we'll probably use Snowblind by Black Sabbath. We kind of got like a pool about like 8 or 9 covers we kind of pull from at any given time. But I will say this, like Highway Star seems to go over really well a lot of times because our singer, he can hit the high notes how it really is. And then we do both the solos in it, like how it should be. We kind of basically play like the album. So, which is kind of impressive. It's kind of a pretty progressive song, being that it was written in the 70s. So,
if you play the Sabbath song, you'll definitely catch the attention of Homicide.
Homicide. Yeah, I was going to say, yeah. Definitely. Because actually, we played, I remember the one show we played Highway Star. And I don't know if you know how it goes in the beginning. The singer hits that real, like, falsetto note right out of, like, you know, like 30 seconds in. And there was a guy at the show who, I guess he wasn't watching the stage when we played, but he was sitting at the bar. And afterwards, he was like, man, your deep cover Purple was awesome. He's like, did you guys play that vocal at the beginning through the PA, or how'd you do that? And I was like, what are you talking about? He's like, that really high note. How'd you? I was like, the singer sang it. What are you talking about? He's like, he sang that? I'm like, yeah, like he sang it. Like he wasn't like facing the stage, but he didn't think he actually hit that note. But I mean, our kind of mentality with covers is, I mean, if I'm going to play something and it has like, you know, like a complicated guitar solo or like my singer with the vocals, like I'm not going to skimp out on it because we can't do it. If you're going to do it, you got to do it, you know?
Right.
That's the way I look at it. Like, why cover it if you're going to skip a guitar solo or you're not going to do a certain part? It's like you're either all in or you're not. Don't do it. So that's kind of like our opinion on it.
How do you guys decide which songs you're going to cover? Is it like a decision that one of you makes, or is there a big conversation that goes on?
I will say our band, it's always been kind of a democracy in a way. Like there's really no leader, which is kind of nice. I mean, it's been me, the singer, and the bass player since 99. Us three, so it's kind of like we kind of know how to work together and everything like that. But it's kind of like, you know, one person will be like, oh, hey, would you guys want to do this? And it's, we kind of vote on it. But I mean, we all have very similar influences. We basically all grew up together. I mean, we've all been together since, I mean, we started in 99, so it's been us main three since 99, which, yeah, almost 20 years now. So we kind of like subconsciously know what each other wants to do and how we work together and stuff. But yeah, one of us will pitch an idea. We're like, yeah, do we like to do that? And we end up doing it, or, you know. But it's pretty democratic for the most part.
Yeah, I have another question for you. I was reading an article today about Skid Row and Sebastian Bach.
I read that today too. That's funny you said that about how Snake Sabo, he's talking about them getting together.
Right.
Right, yeah, and he was – I commend him on that. He was like pretty much – he's like, it's not about the money. It's all about the music. And he was all about their past. He has no like problem with it. And he was saying he wasn't opposed to the reunion with Bach. And I was actually surprised because, I don't know, you read it. He said that like, you know, 70% of Sebastian Bach's set now is Skid Row songs.
Yeah, and he was okay with it.
Like, hey man, he sang that on the album, more power to him. And I kind of agree with him. He said, you know, someone might go see him and they really don't know Skid Row and they hear a song and they look it up, and that's, you know, he was kind of like, he's kind of keeping their band alive by him playing them, which, you know, I kind of understand. I mean, if he did it on the album, he wrote the lyrics and sang it, so it's kind of, you know, better than the Queensryche situation, you know, where you got like two different bands with the same name and all that. But yeah, it was a pretty good article. That's funny you say that. It was like one of the first things I read this morning when I woke up.
Yeah, I catch those in my timeline occasionally. It's pretty hard for Facebook not to throw that stuff at me.
Right. With everything I'm subscribed to. But yeah, Skid Row. We used to cover Skid Row, 18 in Life, back in the day. I gotta lie, that got a lot of the 80s moms that got them going, dude. They love that when we played that.
So let's talk about Pennsylvania Rock Show 13. I had asked you if you were familiar with any of the other bands, and I can't remember which ones you said you were. The Common Crown, I think, was one of them.
Yeah, I actually looked up some of the other bands' stuff. Yeah, I know Homicide, Black, and Common Crown, and then I looked up some Tilted Shadows. and Order Burning Bridges earlier. So yeah, I checked out some of their stuff. But yeah, it's kind of a diverse lineup. I actually Tilted Shadows is kind of interesting. They mix like the acoustic in, and then they kick it in with like heavy.
Yep.
It was kind of like almost like not like folkish, but like it had this acoustic vibe. But then when it like kicked it in with the heavy, it was kind of a nice blend. Actually, they had a pretty good harmonies too with the vocals.
They make me think of like Seattle. They kind of have a grunge feel to them.
Right, yeah, yeah. Well, I was thinking that too. It was like, it's kind of like Alice in Chains-ish. Like, yeah. Yeah, I definitely checked them out. It was pretty good. So there's a chick in that band, and then there's a chick in Art of Burning Bridges too.
There is...
Was it?
Not.
Is there a chick? Shadow.
There is in the Art of Burning Bridges. And a Common Crown.
Yeah, bass player. Yeah, I know Jennifer, from Common Crown. Oh, okay. It sounded like maybe he was singing higher than on the harmonies. It sounded like there was a chick doing harmonies on the Tilted Shadow, but maybe not.
There was not.
Nice.
This is probably the heaviest lineup I've done as far as overall. Usually it's more like it'll start out maybe with an acoustic band, and then we end with a metal band at the end of the night. And
grab you kind of like build it up.
Yeah, this time I'd say the least aggressive band is probably the Art of Burning Bridges, and normally you probably wouldn't say that.
Right. Where some people would be like, man, these guys are heavy, just all personal, what people listen to.
But it's also the first year that Matt Ferrani didn't tell me that I had too many different types of bands on the show.
I didn't realize that dude was as old as he is, man. He's like 41 now, I think.
Yeah, are you saying
he looks good? He's like me, man. I'm almost 37 here, I guess. It must be heavy metal and hard rock keeps you young, I guess. I don't know, man.
Matt is a couple months older than me.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't realize he was that old until he had his like 40th birthday party last year. I was like, dude, he's 40? Okay. I thought he was a little bit younger, but nothing wrong with that.
He doesn't look it.
No, definitely not.
It must be the drums.
it's kind of basically you're doing cardio consistently, so it's kind of like you're just constantly in shape, man. That's what it is.
He's in four bands right now.
Oh, he's four now? Yeah. What else is he in?
He plays for Common Crown, Slant 6.
Yeah, he's in Common Crown, Slant 6, ATF, and then you got another one.
Yeah, he's playing in Dimwit with Mikey Pallone.
Oh, okay.
You know that.
I didn't know he was with them too, man. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, that's more recent. But yeah, he and Steve and Jen and Big E, they're kind of the production company for all the Rock for Life stuff. And
right,
yeah, they do such a great job on the PA Rock Show for me as well. This show is kind of, it's a Rock for Life show, but it's not an official one, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I've seen that on the flyer.
They run everything for me. Everything that comes through the door gets donated to them and Moose Heart Charities. But
right.
Officially, it's a Pennsylvania Rock Show. But if you go to a Rock for Life concert, it's listed. So it's weird. It's probably listed there because I run that website. But
nice. They do good stuff. Definitely.
It's awesome. If you're not familiar with Rock for Life, it's rockforlifeconcert.com. Or you can look him up on Facebook at Rock for Life Concert Series. So let's see. Let's take a short break. We'll play Raiders of the Sea and
the 07 mix live.
Yeah, we're gonna play the live one, and then let's also play a Visceral Reaction.
Okay, that's some new stuff there. Which both of them we will be playing at this upcoming show. So
nice.
Those will both be in the set. So,
and I'm sure I'm breaking some kind of rule by playing two songs from the same band. So we're going to call it a twofer. So now I have a reason to play both.
There you go.
They do that on FM, right?
Yeah, dude. I've seen on the XDV does it. They call it like a double header.
Yeah. So
something like that.
So we're going to play a double header of Divine Tragedy, and we will be right back.
This one is called Raiders of the Sea. Man. Sorry, that was funny. Okay, continue.
Divine Tragedy live on the Pennsylvania Rock Show, featuring the best unsigned rock that Pennsylvania has to offer. Up next for you, we have some telephone calls. We'll be right back.
It's Bill. If you're just tuning in with me, is Justin Cali from The Vine Tragedy, and you just heard two tracks from them. Raiders of the Sea, recorded right here on the Pennsylvania Rock Show live back on November 9th, 2007. And also, a Viscera Reaction off of the same titled album. It has a... Is that a vampire on the front of that? What, I'm trying to remember. It's green. I remember there's green on it.
it was like a mad scientist on
it. Is that what it was?
Yeah, he's drinking this potion and his like stomach's blown out. Viscera is like your guts. So, yeah, our friend Tim did that for us. The cover.
So, how many albums have you guys recorded?
Oh, man. Actually, it's funny you say. I was just talking about this the other day, man. We've always been DIY. You know what I mean? We've always done it ourselves. Like I said, we started in 99. I want to say we probably have about 7 albums of stuff total.
I think, looking at what I have here, double check this.
You might have Final Dawn or I have Evolution.
I do, and I have Viscera.
And then Viscera, yeah. And then before that, we had Step Beyond. That was more like a 6-track album. So it was kind of like a EP. And then actually, before that, we did a concept album, which kind of like, I mean, I like King Diamond. Me and Chris are kind of real into King Diamond. Like all his stuff is, you know, like concept albums. We actually did a album based on, you ever played the game Splatterhouse?
No.
It's like, it was an arcade game and it was on Sega, but it's kind of like a horror game. But we actually did a concept album based on that before that. And then we had, I would say, two or three albums. Yeah, it's probably about 7 back in the day, 99. Actually, one of our albums, one of the first ones, is actually recorded on a mini disc. So that goes to show you how, you know what I mean, how old that is. That was supposed to be the next big thing, and it kind of never came to.
So you guys have been at this since 99, so about... Almost 19 years at this point.
Yeah, and, definitely.
And you told me you were 37, so you started as a band like right out of high school?
Not yet, 99. I actually, I don't know if you remember the Electric Banana?
I know of it.
Yeah, I actually played out. I've been playing live in the scene since, I'm going to say it was 97. I actually played at the Electric Banana. I was 16. My parents had to come with me to get me in. So, that's how long I've been playing in the scene. It was horrible. My first show. We sucked. I mean, I was in a band with some other dudes in high school. We were actually called Chemical Hazard 4. Like, do you ever see, like, on back of tanker trucks and,
yeah,
you know, like, gas tanks, they had that little diamond symbol with, like, the white, blue and yellow and a number.
I follow those on the way to work all the time.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's like different colors mean different kind of things, and then the higher the number, the worse. But like 4 is the highest, and we were like, dude, we want to be number 4, man. We want to be the worst. Chemical Hazard 4. But yeah, I've been playing since 97, me personally in Pittsburgh. And then, but yeah, we've been Divine Tragedy since, it was about like summer 99.
Well, let me ask you this question, since you've been a part of the scene for... quite a while. The big thing going on in social media now is everyone saying that the Pittsburgh scene is dead. What's your take on that?
It's kind of, yeah, I've been reading a lot of articles on that actually lately. It's hard to say. I have mixed opinions on it, I guess. It is, but it isn't. It's just, I mean, I know a lot of people in band, you know what I mean? I mean, I could go catch shows, you know, 3-4 nights of the week. So it's not like people aren't out playing. It's just, I kind of agree with, like, sometimes people just don't want to go out and see live music. You know what I mean? How people are like, oh, I want to pay $40 to go see a national act and I know a couple songs, but they won't spend the $5 to drive down to the city and see, you know, 3 bands for $5 or something like that. But I mean, I will say this. I mean, we're all in the phase where it's like, I'm not doing it for a paycheck. I'm not doing it to be famous. I mean, we're past that point. You know, when I was like 19, I was like, dude, we're going on tour with Iron Maiden. We're going to, you know, rule the world. And then you realize, like, it's more of a hobby now, in my opinion. I don't, like I said, I'm not doing it for a paycheck. But
when divine tragedy ruled the world.
That's right. That's a good VH1 documentary.
That's exactly what that was.
That's sort of behind the music. But no, it's just one of the things, man. I love writing music. I love playing music, and I mean, I've done shows where there's been the band and four people in the crowd. I've done really good shows opening for national acts. You know, it's just I do it because I love doing it, not because, like I said, I'm not in it for the notoriety or the money or anything. I do it because it's kind of like, it's one of the things where it's like, hey, this song that we just wrote did not exist until we created it. It's more of a self satisfaction thing, in my opinion, mm-hmm. You know?
So do some name dropping for me. Who have you opened for?
Let me see. Mushroom Head, Fran Cosmo from Boston. That was a good show. We opened for, Warbringer, Ex Mortis, Cauldron. They're an overseas band. I'm trying to think who else to be open for. It was good. We opened more for national acts back in the day, more than we have now. Yeah, we actually got an opportunity here. We were asked to open up for Havoc. Coming to your rhythm, they're like a thrash band.
I have.
Yeah, they just just the way it is. We can't do it right now. It's a weekday, and our bass player, he travels a lot during the week, so the dates just didn't coincide. But it's one of the things I don't like. You got to sell tickets and stuff for it, but with like a national act, you're kind of almost guaranteed a crowd, if you know what I'm saying. You know what I mean? It's like there's a known band. People are going to be there regardless. So it's kind of, you got to sell tickets for it, but it's one of the things. There's going to be people in the door regardless. So
now you've brought up the pay-to-play thing.
Yeah, actually, we have a song on our new album, our most recent album, called Pay to Play. So it's exactly about that. Yeah, I've done it multiple times. We try not, like, that's kind of our band agreement now, is we're not going to do that unless it's for a national act. So it's kind of our mutual agreement right now. Or unless it's going to be, like, a really, really good show. We're not going to do any pre-sales, so...
What's been your favorite venue that you've played at?
Actually, I just put up my promo video. Sidebar, it's definitely one of them. But, because Jen and Steve, it's nice to play at a venue that's run by people that are in a band in the same scene, where it's not a venue that, hey, I want to have bands to make some extra money from someone who really don't care.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's because we've run into that where there's just bar owners who are like, oh, I want bands because that'll bring extra money into me. Whereas sidebar, the people that run it are in a band, so they know how it is. So they're
in a few bands.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Steve is.
Steve is, yeah. So it's kind of like they understand, not necessarily the struggle, but, you know, they know how it is. So it's they understand being in a band and all that. But we play Fallout Shelter is one of our favorites. It's kind of out in Aliquippa. It's a little bit out of the city there, but that's a really great venue. You ever been there?
I have not.
No, it's weird. You got a bowling alley, right? And then you got a bar in the bowling alley. And you go down these steps in the bowling alley bar, and then there's another bar downstairs. But it's kind of tiny, but they got a really, really good sound system, real good sound guy. But it's a really good theme bar because it's a Fallout Shelter, but like the whole wall is made up of like ammo crates, and they got fuel drums in there and like camo netting and stuff and chicken wire and stuff. So it's kind of a really cool theme bar. But that, and we played Black Forge a couple times this year. I really like that place too, up there in Arlington. It's the most metal coffee shop in the city. So it's another tiny venue, but it's kind of like BYOB, and you know, it's a lot of DIY there, and they got, it's kind of like a little art gallery too, so it's pretty cool.
I just came across them this summer.
Okay.
I was working on PALocalBands.com. They came up a bunch of times. Not my site, but still a cool site. So if you're not familiar with that site, they're basically, what he's trying to do is come up with a database of all the bands in Pennsylvania and all the venues in Pennsylvania.
Right.
Kind of put them in the same place so that venue owners and bands can find each other.
That was actually a question that I saw on the internet like last week. Somebody asked,
How many
local bands do you think there are in Pittsburgh?
I know who asked it too.
me too, yeah. And someone was like, oh, a couple hundred.
That was
dude, I'm willing to bet a couple thousand, honestly.
Yeah, I probably
easily.
I probably,
like, that's a way underestimate in my opinion.
Yeah. That's
because John, they were like, oh, look on the internet and see how many I'm like, but you know how many bands there are that don't have an internet site? Just because, I mean, I know people that are in bands and they don't have a Facebook, you know, so it's like, you can't just base it off of that. Like, I'm willing to say there's a couple thousand, honestly, in the Pittsburgh area, my opinion.
Personally, I think Facebook is a good thing for a band to have, but it's not the end all be all.
Yeah, it's not the alpha omega. It's definitely not. Like, I mean, honestly, too, it's like, just because someone likes you on Facebook, does that mean they're showing up at your show? Yeah, it's just... I don't know exactly what you mean. It's kind of like, I mean, you definitely want it. Like, I just posted a video to it right now. We use like Reverb Nation, which is a good site too. You know, SoundCloud, Spotify, we're on all that. But, man, I ain't gonna lie to you, man. I'll probably have some at the show coming up. I still go back to the old school stuff, man. I burn CDs and give them to people.
And getting your music in their hands is the best way to get them to listen to you.
Well, it's exactly, that's my opinion too, especially because, well, you know, how old are you, man? You're close to my age.
41.
Yeah, we're about the same age, but like when blank CDs first came out, they were kind of pricey. But now, man, I could go get a pack of 50 CDRs for like $12. So what I'll do is, you know, I'll burn 4 tracks on the CD. I'll put a flyer for the show in it. And, you know, our information for social media, and I go and I just hand them to people. I'm like, here, free disc, free disc, free disc. Because it's one of the things, my opinion is, like, I could give you a flyer all day with my band's name on it. And I'm not going to lie, I've done it myself. I've been to concerts. People are like, oh, check us out. And I just throw it away. You know, it's, but if I give you a physical CD, and chances are you might leave the concert and actually put it in your CD player when you leave. I've had that happen many times, you know, because it's like, you can rep something on paper to somebody all day, but if I actually give you the product in your hand, you're more inclined to check it out, in my opinion. That's the way I look at it.
And that's the person we were talking about earlier that asked the question about Pittsburgh bands. It's Jonna from First Angel Media.
Right.
That's one of the things she wants to do. She wants to put together a compilation CD of a bazillion bands from the area and then have the bands hand them out at shows that they're at. So
right.
You know, everybody's supporting each other that way.
Yeah, that's, like I said, I call it grassroots, call it whatever you want. I'm kind of still in that old mentality. Yeah, I've actually handed CDs. People are like, dude, you still have CDs? You know, it's like, but I mean, dude, my work truck's at work. We don't have CD players anymore, like the newer work truck. So it's kind of like, I got to start getting cheap flash drives and handing them out to people or something. So
there are companies that'll do that for you. You send them what you want on it and they'll,
make
put your logo
bunch of them
on it, and, yeah.
I don't doubt it.
I'm sure there's some money in that too. Maybe I'll look into it.
There we go. Maybe we're in the wrong business.
Are you familiar with East End?
Yeah, Robbie Perrin.
Yeah, have you seen what he has going on his website recently?
Because he does a lot of like printing and stuff, like T-shirts and all that, isn't
he?
Like merch and all that.
He does, and. I may be the guy behind his website.
Nice.
He is currently doing a thing where bands can set up shirts on his site, and there's no upfront cost.
Right.
All you have to do is send him the artwork. And,
right.
Every sale, you get 33% of whatever the price is that's paid. So the band pays nothing and gets a commission off of the sale.
So you basically just order it from his site.
From his site, right.
Like, I don't even need to have the shirts.
Nope.
Oh, okay. That's kind of nice. So it's kind of like an online store, but he's giving you a third of the commission.
Yeah, it's basically he's you're a vendor, except you don't have to do any work except for create the artwork.
Except for giving the artwork and tell him what. I didn't know that. See, that's decent. What he does, because he does shirts, hoodies. He can do anything, right?
Yeah.
He can put on whatever.
Yeah, he has t-shirts, hoodies, tank tops. I believe he does business cards and something else in that list that I can't remember now. It's not on the website. That's why I don't remember.
Cool.
But, yeah, that's EndeavorAfterLLC.com. But every once in a while, I try and promote somebody in the area. Sidebar comes up all the time.
Right. Dude, world famous.
That's right.
That's right.
They were on TV and everything. Did you see that?
I did watch it, yeah. Because what that used to be called, what, the horse trough, I think, back in the day?
Yep, and that's the
so, only, yeah.
I've only been there once, and it was the horse trough.
Okay.
I need to remedy that before Steve realizes it.
Right? Yeah, that, I love that place, man. Love playing there.
I saw Cage and Gasoline Dion play there.
Cage, K-A-J. Yeah, I remember that band. Yep.
And Gasoline Dion was, and it's, they, Gasoline Dion was kind of my thing. They were looking for an opener, and I was like, hey, let, you know, they'll come out and play. Yeah. They,
oh, okay.
They really did not belong together. Gasoline Dion was a sloppy punk band.
Right.
And, Cage was not. Cage was a kind of the Alice in Chains feel.
Right. Yeah. Actually, I think our old bass player, his cousin was a band member of Cage.
Who was your bass player?
Jason Hall from back in the day. He played I think it was him that played at your house, from what I remember.
Okay.
But yeah, because Cage was what? They were from like Leechburg?
They were from Tanning.
Like in that area. Yeah, I remember Tanning, I think his cousin might have been the bass player in that band, from what I remember.
Okay,
he had some relative that was in that band, though.
They had Chris Riggy, Eric Benner, and Bob Pratt all played bass for them at some point.
Yeah, I can't remember. Like I said, I can't remember his name offhand, but
yeah, they were one of the first bands I did a website for.
Yeah, dude, we used to have to deal with that weird groupings all the time back in the day.
Yeah, that one was my fault.
Especially.
And I knew it. It just didn't click until I saw them together. And I was like, oh, what was I doing?
Right. Yeah, we used to deal with that, especially in like the early 2000s. Because we were pretty metal still, like consistently. We've always kind of been into the new wave of British heavy metal. Like huge influence, like Iron Maiden, Dio, old Metallica, like all that. And we used to get lumped on bands with, they either wanted to be Korn or Limp Bizkit or like Blink 182. You know, it was either, we got lumped in with a lot of punk bands or like new metal bands. So we kind of got like a lot of people. It's weird, like that. We used to get that attitude like, oh man, these guys actually know how to play. Oh, forget about, you know, like more about the attitude. Because we actually, our bass player, we had a bass player, Mike, that came with us, and he came kind of from the punk background. And he was more about, it's more about the attitude, not how you play. And we were like, no, dude, it's more about how you play. I'd rather you stand still and play everything good than be bouncing all over the place and play like crap.
That's the
especially with us, like the way we play, like our stuff, a lot of harmonies, intricate, like you need to be tight, like so it's like I'd rather you play perfect and stand still than bouncing all over the room, like I said, and slopping it up. So
let's do one more quick reminder to everyone that the Pennsylvania Rock Show 13 is November 25th at the Leechburg Moose. Starts at 7:30. The bands that are playing starting out at 7:30. And I can't see my... I don't remember the order. 7:30 is The Art of Burning Bridges. 8:30, I believe, is Tilted Shadows. 9:30 is Divine Tragedy. 10:30, A Common Crown. And 11:30, Homicide Black.
Right in the middle. Right in the middle.
You're in the middle.
Good spot.
Have you played at the Leechburg Moose before?
I have not played there. I've been there for a couple shows. Most recent time, I was there last year for that Drunken Irish Metal Fest. It was a pretty good show.
I did not go to that last year's. I've been to a few of them.
Yeah. That was a pretty cool venue.
Yeah,
been there twice. I like it. It's nice. It's big. It's nice and big.
So is there anything that you want to mention before we go off into the night?
No, not really. Not offhand. We already talked about the show. How about, like I said,
how can people get a hold of some of those albums that you guys have recorded?
You can actually, we have them on YouTube. You can literally go on YouTube and we have all the tracks. You know what I mean? I'm all about the free music to people. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, this ain't my real job. So it's, I mean, we sell CDs at shows and stuff if you want to buy the actual physical copy. But I'm more about the, I'd rather, like I said, we all got day jobs. I'd rather somebody hear my stuff for free than not listen to it because they had to pay for it. But yeah, you can get it YouTube, we're on CD Baby, Facebook, Reverb Nation. You can go to all that. So I think we have a Spotify too. I think the other dude in the band set that up. So,
yeah, so
actually, that's what we're going to do with what we're planning on doing with our new stuff coming up here too, actually. Cause we are always, you know, we write 8, 9, 10 songs and we, you know, put a whole full album together and then put it out. But I think what we're going to do now is we actually have the drums done on two of them. And then there's two other songs that are basically all together. I think what we're going to do is just, you know, do two, just put them out on the internet for free, give them to people, do another two or three, put them out for free. And then, you know, maybe next year, once we get 8 or 10 together, we'll decide if we want to put them together on a disc or, but you know, I'd rather just people hear it as opposed to waiting to get a full album together. Cause we're already playing the two songs out live that we have recorded. So,
hey, so you've been listening to the Pennsylvania Rock Show. This has been episode number 402. Come hang out with Justin and I at the Leechburg Moose, 7:30 PM, $5 for members, $10 for qualified guests. If you're curious as to what a qualified guest is, it's you. Hey, so check us out next week after you come to the Leechburg Moose.
Nice.
Bill, this has been the Pennsylvania Rock Show.